answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers!
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Change my party, but it clearly we've lost the argument, and now right now I think it's entirely appropriate to really be honest and just figure out why exactly have we effectively lost two out of the last three cycles, and a lot of the things we've really kind of really lost our connection with American voters in ways. And I think we can't just be, well, Trump is always wrong, or that we're going to set the country on fire or whatever. That's just not true either, of course. And you always can't forget that a lot of Americans happen to disagree with you. That does not mean that they are fascists. They're protesting about, oh, that's the Hitler thing. You just don't ever compare anyone to Hitler and those kinds of extreme things.
That is Pennsylvania Senator John Fetterman speaking the truth, speaking what every American should echo, regardless if you have a D or an R behind your name or no initial whatsoever. He admitted in that opening remark that I'm never going to change my party. But he said, we certainly have lost the argument. Fetterman is one of those who is against pushing transitioning upon children and saying it's all okay. He is one of those who also says you can't just label the enemy with you're like Hitler. He's acknowledging there is no comparison to anyone walking the earth now to what Hitler did. None. Not on either side. We have not had anything done like that. There are members of Congress on the Democrat side, and we're trying to compare rounding up illegals, putting them in detention holding centers as Auschwitz. That's nowhere near what happened to the people that suffered under Hitler. And you really should be condemned for even making that analogy. You basically have dismissed what those people went through. Men, women, and children, degraded, dehumanized, locked in cattle cars, put into gas chambers, en masse. Did you ever see the movie Sophie's Choice? Meryl Streep. My wife and I went to see that shortly after our first child was born. It was going to be our first night out, our date night. We appreciated her acting ability. Didn't know anything about the movie, but knew it was getting a lot of play. So we thought we'd go see it. When we're in it and we began to see it unfold, we're both getting very uncomfortable. Sophie's Choice is built upon the premise that at some point, this mother of a young girl and a young boy basically had to decide which would live and which would go to Auschwitz. Could you make a choice like that between two of your children? Do you even want to be referred to that or have that choice staring you in the face. Having to decide one of my children must die so the other can live. And it was presented to her, if you don't decide, we will kill both of them. So she's got to think that I'm saving one. But at the same time, I'm committing the other to death. And then to live with that. The whole movie and the book that preceded it, exploring things of survival and guilt, and the toll of the Holocaust through the eyes of a young writer in post-war Brooklyn. But there was no way you could sit there and not be affected. Several times we got up, started to leave, but we were captivated to the child that she had saved. What would happen? I do know this. Our plans for going out and having dinner or something like that after the theater, we were done. Emotionally drained. Went home, got our baby from the babysitter, went back to our house and locked the doors. It took days for that to shake free. And it was just a movie. We had not truly experienced it. What some of our experienced in this nation, this world, at the hands of most evil, they're still trying to deal with. But the point being made by Fetterman, when you start labeling anyone that you disagree with or that you think is out of line, Hitler, you're wrong. You're committing a big sin because it comes nowhere near the reality of what happened. This is hour number two of Larry Connors USA. We're here every Monday through Friday for you from 6 to 8 p.m. With Larry Connors USA, you get news, analysis, opinion, and education. You will leave this hour with more knowledge than you have right now. And reminding you, when we're on the air, we are streaming video. How do you watch? Deuce Talk STL, Rumble, Facebook, Twitter, and Larry Connors USA, Rumble, or Facebook. And if you miss anything, you want to go back and listen or watch again, or more importantly, you want to pull it up and share it with someone, you go to Newstalk STL Podcast, LarryConnorsUSA.com, LarryConnorsUSA Facebook, and podcast outlets all across the nation. You search Larry Connors USA, we will be there. So 22-year-old Tyler Robinson is still locked up as they gather more and more evidence against him. Utah Governor Cox.
There were reports yesterday that we can confirm that his roommate was indeed a boyfriend who is transitioning from male to female. That's information that the FBI had mentioned yesterday. We can confirm that as well, and that he is cooperating with authorities as well.
At least he was of yesterday. We don't know the latest on it. In the beginning, the man accused of killing Charlie Kirk was cooperating to some extent, but has since stopped doing that. Members of his family are suffering and in pain. There was a memorial service in Salt Lake City, Utah, yesterday, and the prayer vigil was meant to lift up his family as they're dealing with this. When someone reaches that age, you cannot hold the parents responsible for their actions. Did they do something at a younger age to the child that left them scarred or her scarred to the point where they would carry out such an act? That's a deep dive and well beyond anything we can do. But generally, you can't blame parents of a young adult for taking such an action. But if you are the parent of that young adult, you're suffering. According to relatives of the family, not only Tyler, but his transgender partner hates conservatives and Christians. Kash Patel said that they had found a note, that they were able to reconstruct it, that Tyler Robinson had written, saying, "I have the opportunity to take out Charlie Kirk, and I'm going to take it." There was a far-left influencer who went on his social media and acknowledged this.
Reports now that the Charlie Kirk shooter was in a relationship and lived with a trans individual. Let's just hypothetically say it's true. What does that change about the story? What difference does that make?
The Denver shooter was trans, the Aberdeen shooter was trans, the Nashville shooter was trans, the Georgia shooter was trans, the Philadelphia shooter was trans, the Uvalde shooter was trans, the Colorado shooter was trans, and now the Minnesota shooter was trans. I think one of the things that you see being pointed out by the Walsh types is that even if there is no clear ideology, there is something in the water with the untouchable nature of the trans identity until just the past really year that you could even talk about it, frankly. And what appears to be a kind of underlying mental instability that tends to disproportionately give rise to these school shootings.
That's his view, and I agree with a lot of it, but it's not in the water, it's the drugs. And there's another party responsible for all of this. That would be, quote, the media. On all sides, not giving a gun to someone, not giving them the bullets, not even giving them the keys to a car to go crash into a demonstration. But if you're not careful with your words and the stories you do cover, the context you put them in might push someone over the edge. I've been referencing in the last hour some remarks that Erica Kirk was making, and I a couple times made reference just by the slip of the tongue that it was at his funeral. It was not his funeral. It was just a statement she wanted to release. The funeral was set for September the 21st. I'll give you more details in a moment. But she was standing beside his chair in his position at Salem, I believe, where he did his broadcast normally. And she was offering a message for anyone who thought his assassination would stop the movement.
To everyone listening tonight across America, the movement my husband built will not die. It won't. I refuse to let that happen. It will not die. All of us will refuse to let that happen. No one will ever forget my husband's name, and I will make sure of it. It will become stronger, bolder, louder, and greater than ever. My husband's mission will not end, not even for a moment.
She was making that in a live stream broadcast from Turning Point USA's headquarters in Arizona. It's the location of Turning Point USA where Kirk and his wife lived with their two children before his death. Memorial service for Charlie Kirk will be held September the 21st at State Farm Stadium in Arizona. Holds 60,000 people. President Trump expected to attend along with Vice President J.D. Vance, as well as Secretary of State Marco Rubio, who departed for Israel over the weekend, said, "I will be back in time to be there for Charlie." And as you heard Erica saying, if you thought you were going to put an end to what he started, you're wrong. Once again, the words of Charlie Kirk's widow.
The evildoers responsible for my husband's assassination have no idea what they have done. They killed Charlie because he preached a message of patriotism, faith, and of God's merciful love. But they should all know this. If you thought that my husband's mission was powerful before, you have no idea. You have no idea what you just have unleashed across this entire country and this world. You have no idea. You have no idea the fire that you have ignited within this wife. The cries of this widow will echo around the world like a battle cry.
And I have no doubt they will. They'll be amplified over and over again. Charlie Kirk was energizing young conservatives. And I will actually correct that to say the young people, to get involved. They may or may not be conservative. They may become conservative. They may not, but they were energized to be involved. This entire tour that he started, he was at a table and he would take people, come talk to him and question him. He said, prove me wrong. Prove me wrong. And he wasn't trying to put them down for their thoughts. He's trying to make them think. There's no doubt that Charlie Kirk's movement with the young people helped get Trump reelected. President Trump said he will award Charlie Kirk a posthumous Presidential Medal of Freedom, the highest civilian honor, calling him a giant of his generation, a champion of liberty. Coming up, a man who has been in the circles with Charlie Kirk, and I want to get his viewpoint. Lock and load, ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
I want to tell you more about Wellington Environmental's dustless blasting services. Wellington can blast paint, grease, graffiti, even stripes off parking lots. Truly amazing and powerful. But can Wellington blast something more sensitive? Yes, Wellington can use dry ice to blast soot and odors off smoke-damaged surfaces right after a fire. Currently, Wellington uses dry ice to clean mold off wood inside a home. Why? Well, dry ice immediately disappears, turns into a vapor. That means no mess to clean up, no damaged surfaces. You need to check with Wellington, always researching and practicing with new, better, faster, safer equipment and products for you. And it's very easy to schedule an estimator for your next project. Call Cindy, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Be well with Wellington. McGuire Moving is silver certified, which means they are great at relocating senior citizens. In fact, McGuire is a household name because McGuire understands the stress involved when moving older adults. So if you or family members need help moving, I highly recommend McGuire Moving. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. Get a free in-home estimate. McGuireMoving.com. Another day, must be another roofer in town. And John, Bill and I were talking. He said, you know, every time you turn around, there's a new roofing company. Many of them have no idea what they're doing. And the statistics show that many will be out of business within 2 to 5 years. Who are you going to call to help you then? You need to remember only one name, John Beal. John Beal Roofing. You have a problem, he can take care of it, and we'll be here for you. John Beal Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. I've got a great evening planned for you. We start with dining at the Oak Street Inn Lounge in Connellville. We enjoy sunset on the rooftop, then down to the speakeasy. Just one visit, you're going to see why I'm always talking about the Oak Street Inn and Lounge. Plus, you might want to plan a staycation, a romantic getaway. Check out OakStreetInnAndLounge.com for various events this summer. Oak Street Inn and Lounge, Connellville. Oak Street Inn and Lounge, Connellville.
This is News Talk STL. This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
My next guest is founder and CEO of Pickaxe. He's also published and co-authored Church and State, How the Left Used the Church to Conquer America, and Social Injustice, Exposing the False Gospel, the Social Justice Movement. Jeff Dornick, glad to have you on board, sir.
Thanks for having me on. I'm looking forward to chatting with you.
All right, let me begin with your relationship with Charlie Kirk and your thoughts about what happened the other day.
Yeah, definitely. I never had any personal relationship with him, but I did have a lot of mutual friends. And then additionally, on top of that, I actually attended one of his training events out here in Southern California, where he was actually training a bunch of the youth in the area and their chapters and all that. And you really saw his passion for the truth, and also a passion for equipping these kids in order to be successful at reaching the left with the truth. And the one thing for me, as I'm looking at Charlie Kirk, and there's a lot of conservative voices that are popping up and saying we're gonna pick up the mic, we're gonna do the same thing that Charlie Kirk did, we're gonna go to college campuses and debate and discuss and all that kind of stuff. The one thing that I think that we have to be very very cognitive about is the fact that, yeah, there's a lot of conservatives that want to accomplish what Charlie was doing on a political level, but I don't think that anybody's ever going to be as effective as Charlie Kirk, because he was combining not only politics and political rhetoric, but also focusing on the truth and the gospel of the Christian church. And I think that was something that was very unique to him, that he was able to weave that together and be very effective. And I think that that's why he was actually able to change a lot of minds, is that he wasn't just trying to get somebody to jump from being a Democrat to a Republican, but he was actually trying to fundamentally change people's worldview, the way they look at life, the way that they see the world. And he was very effective at it because it was always rooted in the truth. It was always rooted in the Constitution, the Bible, and the gospel. And that's something that I don't think can really be replicated with any of the mainstream conservative influencers.
So to that extent, you would not say that he was trying to be a Pied Piper leading them somewhere they didn't want to go, but basically getting them to think for themselves.
Yeah, well, I mean, when you think about it, he's just sitting there, and he was almost forcing a lot of those students to rationalize their positions. He would give them his best arguments, but then he would allow them to try to rationalize their argument. And I think that that's actually one of the most effective ways to change people's minds, is that if you blast them with a fire hose of information and you just yell at them and tell them they're stupid if they don't come to your side, and you constantly try to own them, destroy them, you know, fill in the blank of whatever rhetoric you want to use, you're not going to change that many minds. But if you actually want to change somebody's minds, you're going to give them your best argument and then ask them a question. Ask them to rationalize their opinion. Yeah. And I'm just telling you, from a personal standpoint, I've tried to implement that in my life. I'm out here in communist California. I'm surrounded by lefties. And I've been able to change a lot of people's minds, not by just blasting them with a fire hose of information, but literally I'll give them my best argument about, you know, COVID jabs, about election fraud, about the Constitution, fill in the blank, whatever it is. And then I'll ask them a pointed question and then be quiet and listen to them and allow them to rationalize their opinion. And the dirty secret that Democrats don't want to admit is that if you actually get down to the crux of it, the vast majority of Americans are truly conservatives down at heart. They just don't realize it because they've been propagandized to and brainwashed. But deep down in their heart, they do believe in personal property rights.
What
they,
about
let me take a moment to interrupt you.
Hang on a second. Let me take a moment to interrupt you. What about those that you offer your rational statement and then they have no defense, they have nothing that can back up anything they're trying to claim, and they just go full blast hate and anger and shouting at you? What's the response then?
Well, I would say it depends on the scenario. So so if it's just a one-on-one conversation, it may or may not be worth your time to actually, you know, pursue it. You just say, like, look, clearly, you know, we're at an impasse. We're not getting anywhere. Have a good day. However, if you're having a conversation like Charlie Kirk, or let's say on X or on social media or in a debate, that's where you do engage and you do give them enough space, because the reality is you want the audience, the people that are listening in on the conversation, to be able to see, okay, you've got one side that's rational, logical, calm, and seems to be based in truth, and they seem to have an answer for everything. And then you have another side that's emotional and angry and making personal attacks, but they don't really seem to have any truth on their side. So you give them space in order to expose themselves and expose that they're not actually prepared, they don't actually know what they believe, and then you can actually change people in the audience.
You're listening to Jeff Dornick, founder and co-CEO of Pickaxe. And when we began the conversation, you're talking about that others who might want to pick up Charlie's mantle or mic. One of those who came forward immediately, Ben Shapiro. I'm not asking you to say if he's qualified or not, but you're saying that this is a rush to grab that or take control, or what is your view?
No, I think that there's a lot of people that genuinely believe in what Charlie Kirk was trying to do, and they want to continue the fight. They want to continue his mission of this open discussion and debate and dialogue. The problem is that I see in the vast majority of these people that are stepping forward, I believe that they do have honorable intentions, they don't have the deep-seated faith in Jesus Christ and the gospel that is transformational and that Charlie Kirk believed could actually change people's lives. And so if you're going to step up and kind of fill in that void, but you're only focusing on the political, maybe philosophical side of things, you're missing out on half of what Charlie Kirk was doing, and it's the half that can actually transform people's lives for the better. So that's where, in my opinion, we need more true evangelical Christians who believe in the one true gospel that's found in God's word in order to step forward and fill that void and tackle the political as well as the theological, because that's the only way you're actually going to change lives.
Do you have an issue with calling the left as maybe dangerous to the country, or putting a lot of blame on the left and not any to the right, those on the right? Or do you think only one side is to blame?
So it depends on how you look at it. So I believe that both sides, both the left and the right, are actively involved, and there's blame to go around when it comes to the hyper division that we see in this country. I mean, we see inflammatory rhetoric from both sides of the aisle, depending on the scenario, and that's completely legit. When it comes specifically to what we're seeing now with political violence, I would say that that's an almost exclusive thing to the left, and the reason is because what they've done is they've lied about conservatives, and they've brainwashed and propagandized their audiences to actually believe that Donald Trump is the modern day Adolf Hitler, that people like Charlie Kirk and Turning Point USA and conservatives are actual Nazis, that Republicans are white supremacists,
well,
that
Judge,
we are the
equivalent to that
of
extent,
the KKK.
Before you joined us, I was playing a clip of Senator John Fetterman, who's obviously on the left, and he said we should not ever be calling anyone in our opposing view or opposing party a Nazi. He said, you're overstepping the bounds. He's acknowledging that.
Yeah, and it's a very good point, because here, this is the key takeaway for this. When you label somebody as a Nazi, now you're justifying political violence against that person. Because if we were in World War II and Adolf Hitler was coming to power and the Nazis had taken over, like I would say a lot of people would feel justified in trying to take out Adolf Hitler. So because of how evil he is, look at the massive amounts of deaths that he was responsible for. Now imagine now you brainwashed enough people in America to believe that Donald Trump is Adolf Hitler and that conservatives are Nazis. Now you're justifying violence against them because they see, okay, we're not there yet, but down the road they're going to lead to millions of people's deaths and genocide and all that kind of stuff.
All right,
so that's the problem with this kind of rhetoric.
A quick follow-up. How much do you believe the media, be it left or right, has contributed to this divide?
I would say that both have contributed to the divide. The one major difference that we also do have to consider is this level of power and influence. So the left and the mainstream media have massive amounts of influence, whereas the right, while we have massive amounts of influence on the alternative media, we're not a part of the quote unquote credible sources. And so, you know, we do have to put a lot of blame on the mainstream media for their insane rhetoric. I mean, the View even called Charlie Kirk and Turning Point USA a Nazi at one point, I think back in 22 or 23.
Right.
And so we do have to look at this and realize a lot of people will never hear the alternative point of view or the conservative point of view because we've all been siloed off of mainstream media. So they do have a lot of blame when it comes to this kind of radicalization.
You made a very good point. When we get in our silos, we don't want to pay attention to anyone outside. Jeff Dornick, founder and CEO of Pickaxe, and also host of the Jeff Dornick Show. Thank you again for your time, sir.
Thank you.
We'll do it again. Coming up, there's a Washington Post columnist, said, I got fired because of what I had to say about Charlie Kirk. Well, was that a legitimate firing, a legitimate reason? Or should she be allowed to have, quote, free speech? You can begin to argue either way. I'll have the facts coming up.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at LarryConnorsUSA.
I've got a phone number for you and a website where you can take a free, quick survey to learn how to use artificial intelligence, AI, to put your company on a fast track to the future. Here's the number. It's a 636 area code, 636-689-0545, 689-0545. This is PRI Global. And recently, the St. Louis Business Journal named PRI Global as a leading IT consulting company. 25 years working with hundreds of companies, several Fortune 500, locally and around the world. PRI Global has its own AI lab to develop what's best for your company. Take the free survey and be on your way to the future. 636-689-0545, 689-0545, or go direct PRIGlobal.ai, PRIGlobal.ai. Hey, looking for windows that solve your problems and actually add value to your home? Renewal by Anderson. Anderson products increase your home value by at least 15%. Right now, get $329 off every window, $729 off every patio or entry door, and ask about our zero interest plan for 3 years. Renewal by Anderson, the full-service replacement division of Anderson. That's a name you've trusted for more than 122 years. Renewal by Anderson has FiberX frames, 20% stronger than vinyl, built to last. It's why we have more 5-star reviews than anyone in St. Louis. And only Renewal by Anderson backs it up with the nation's best warranty. Schedule your complimentary consultation, rbastl.com, or call 877-WINDOWS, 877-WINDOWS. Renewal by Anderson, superior products, exceptional service.
Yeah.
You've worked hard for your money, so protect it. Meet my friend Bob Leslie and ask about the Gain and Retain plan. Leslie Consulting, 40 years in the St. Louis area as a leader in brokerage and risk management. Call 314-721-0066, 721-0066. Oh, and ask Bob how he was the L.A. Dodger number one pick. LeslieConsulting.com.
This is News Talk STL.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
All right, so I want to share with you a piece from the Free Speech Center in Middle Tennessee State University. Now, again, this is at the university, and the way they describe themselves as being under the First Amendment, their statement of who they are, they point out the editor-in-chief is a former editor-in-chief of USA Today, Dean Emeritus at Middle Tennessee State University. And then they go forward with what we do. The Free Speech Center is a, as they build themselves, a nonpartisan, nonprofit public policy center dedicated to building the understanding of the five freedoms of the First Amendment through education, information, engagement. It adds it does not participate in litigation or lobbying. All right, so you have that as your background. I always want you to know the source and understand which way they lean, if at all. But they have a headline piece here that Matthew Dowd's firing begins a flood of people facing consequences for comments on Charlie Kirk's death. Matt Dowd was the political analyst who lost his job shortly after on-air comments about conservative activist Charlie Kirk's assassination. And he's one of the first of many that have faced some sanctions or some kind of punishment. They point out that several conservative activists sought to identify social media users whose posts about Kirk they viewed as offensive or celebratory, adding right-wing influencer, as they call her in this article. Laura Loomer said she would try to ruin the professional aspirations of anyone who celebrated Kirk's death. Now, Matt in MSNBC had said Dowd is no longer with the network after his comments, saying that his remarks about hateful words lead to hateful actions, and the MSNBC president and Dowd himself later apologized for the remarks. The president called the remarks inappropriate, insensitive, unacceptable. Dowd said, "I did not intend my comments to blame Kirk for the attack, but nevertheless, it was taken that way." A Florida reporter was suspended for a question posed to a member of Congress. This is a comic book writer who lost her job because of social media posts, as did educators in Mississippi and Tennessee. CBS Mornings host Nate Burleson assailed for a question. An Arizona sports reporter and a Carolina Panthers public relations official both lost their jobs. All of this is being reported by the Free Speech Center at the Middle Tennessee State University. There was an anonymously registered website pledged to, quote, expose Charlie's murderers, and asked others to offer tips about anyone supporting political violence online. A staff member at the University of Mississippi fired after sharing insensitive comments about Kirk's death. The university did not identify the employee or respond to questions from the Associated Press. the president of Middle Tennessee State University said he had fired a staffer who offered, quote, callous, inappropriate comments on social media about the assassination. There are numerous other cases. Florida Governor DeSantis, education commissioner, warned the state's teachers that making disgusting statements about Kirk's assassination could draw sanctions, including the suspension or revocation of their teaching license. And one of those in charge, the commissioner, I should say, said, I'll be conducting an investigation of every educator who engages in this vile, unsanctionable behavior. Govern yourself accordingly. We're on the very edge of what is First Amendment right and what becomes hate speech and what targets others by your remarks. I don't particularly like some of these remarks, but I also think in some cases it's maybe it needs to be reconsidered and obviously pointed out, and then you make the decision as to where you stand with it. I'm looking at, I mentioned Burleson, the CBS News morning show, former football star turned anchor. He was attacked online because he asked former House Speaker Kevin McCarthy on the air Thursday after the shooting whether this was a moment for the Republican Party to reflect on political violence. His co-anchor, Gail King, immediately tried to soften the question by interjecting, I'd say, both parties. If you missed our first hour, there's a listener that sent a very thoughtful and somewhat condemning email to me about when I had the phrase both parties. Give me the names. Who are they? I don't have to have names to know that in our midst there are those that off in a corner will make remarks. There are also sometimes those who throw the N-word around when they're out of hearing of those who think they think might be offended, particularly black people. And yes, there are black people that use that word abusively, consistently, even in some of their music. And I have a problem with that. If the word is bad, it should not be accepted. I don't care. I don't want to hear, well, because I'm this color, I can say it. It does not take away the hatred that goes with the word, in my view. So there's a columnist for the Washington Post. She pointed out on her Substack today, on Blue Sky, that is a leftist platform. She said, on Blue Sky, in the aftermath of the horrific shootings in Utah and Colorado, she's talking about the children shot while attending mass, she said, I condemned America's acceptance of political violence. I don't know that America accepts political violence, but those were her words. And she said, and I criticized its ritualized response, the hollow, cliched calls for thoughts and prayers, and that this is not who we are, that she adds, normalized gun violence. That does not normalize gun violence. There is no normalization of gun violence unless it's in defense of you or your family or someone else. She included multiple screenshots on her post, including one that read, part of what keeps America so violent is the insistence that people perform care, empty goodness, absolution for white men who espouse hatred and violence. She also added, my only direct reference to Kirk was one post, his own words on record. And this is what she wrote, attributing it as a quote to Charlie Kirk. Black women do not have the brain processing power to be taken seriously. You have to go steal a white person's slot. And that is a remark made apparently by Kirk on July 2023 during the Charlie Kirk show about affirmative action, in which he named Joy Reid, Supreme Court Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson, Michelle Obama, Sheila Jackson Lee, rather than speaking broadly about all black women, as one post suggested. I have to admit I was unaware of that statement, and I don't know if that's the proper context of what I just read to you, but that's the way she put it in her Substack. And she said, the Washington Post accused my measured blue sky post of being unacceptable, gross misconduct, and of endangering the physical safety of colleagues. Charges without evidence, which I reject completely as false. Then they rushed to fire me without even a conversation. She adds, this was not only a hasty overreach, but a violation of the very standards of journalistic fairness and rigor the Post claims to uphold. I'm presenting it to you as I see it. I don't know if she correctly quoted Kirk. I don't know the full context of his remarks. I don't know if it was cherry picking. And the remarks she makes at the end, saying they rushed to fire me without even a conversation, I assume that to be probably true. Bottom line is, whoever says it, by whatever means, be they with a platform or just in passing, hate is hate. And if it's your intent to defile someone, to slander them, and to put your hate on top of them, you're wrong. You're wrong. I want to close this hour as I did the first, focusing on Erica and her children. She shared a story about their young daughter.
When I got home last night, Gigi, our daughter, just ran into my arms. And I talked to her and she said, Mommy, I missed you. I said, I missed you too, baby. She goes, where's Daddy? What do you tell a three-year-old? She's three. I said, baby, Daddy loves you so much. Don't you worry. He's on a work trip with Jesus, so he can afford your blueberry budget.
How does a parent answer a three-year-old child? How do you explain to them they don't understand death? And even adults are having a hard time understanding what happened. We know what happened. We know there's a man in custody for it. There'll be evidence presented. But does it really explain it? And there are parents, relatives all over this nation of all colors, and I'll point out particularly in the minority communities that have had to tell their younger children that a brother, a husband, a father, a cousin won't be coming around anymore because they were a victim of violence, often gun violence, but not always. It's not the gun. It's the person and their intent. So Charlie Kirk's official funeral will be held the 21st of September. State Farm Stadium in Arizona. That's where the Cardinals play. Can seat more than 60,000. Charlie Kirk organized and based Turning Point USA in Arizona. President Trump is expected to attend, along with Vice President J.D. Vance, who had accompanied his casket back to Arizona from Utah. But again, in that live stream broadcast from Turning Point USA's headquarters, Erica Kirk had said, "You have no idea that you've ignited within this wife. The cries of this widow will echo around the world like a battle cry." And I would add, amen. Remember our pledge. One nation under God.
You can follow Larry on Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook. This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.